Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter. And this title of this message today is Freedom Through Submission. On Palm Sunday, we have two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of Rome, the Roman Empire. And the way the Roman Empire worked was conquest, submission through defeat, through crushing. And therefore, if you can get people to fear you, and if you can crush them and push them down, then you can dominate. On the other hand, you have Israel, who lives in this foreign nation of Rome, and they are existing in this state of this expectation. They called it the expectation of Israel, that something better was coming, that God was going to send them the Messiah, that God was going to send the one who would bring them freedom. And so because of the expectation of Israel, you had different people who had these very strong beliefs. They were rebels, many of them. And they believed that God would give them a great deliverance. And so on that day, that great day in which the King, King Jesus came, and he entered into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover with his disciples, the people acknowledged him. Some people acknowledged him for the proper purpose, realizing that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't know what it looked like. Others thought, this is the day. This is the day we're finally going to break the chains of Rome. We are going to get even. Some of them were rebellious in the way that they, if they had the opportunity, they would hurt and damage and kill every person, whoever did likewise to them and to their people. And so you have these two kingdoms coming together on this day. And the expectation was on Jesus, that Jesus somehow would be the fulfillment of everything Israel thought he would be. But Jesus came in a different way. Jesus enters on a donkey. Jesus enters as the humble servant. Jesus enters without an army. He has his disciples. He has a small crowd. Jesus entered not to take life, but to give his life as the ransom for many. This is not Rome's way. This is not the expectation of Israel. This is something entirely different. Jesus didn't choose between the domination of Rome and the rebellion that Israel desired. Instead, he was choosing a third way, a way given him by God, the way of the cross. Jesus, with the cross in his sight, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, our Savior. And then Peter in 2 Peter tells us in chapter 2 and verse 13, what's our response? He says, submit. And we hear those words, and how many of you, when you think of your government, when you think of governments in general, the word submit just feels good. A little couple chuckles out there. We got a couple rebels in this church. There's that feeling that rises up inside of there's something wrong with this world, and yet we're told to submit. And so today what we need to do is we need to put on some different lenses here to see this properly. A couple years ago in our house, things were different. Things were changing. Something shifted that I noticed. You see, my wife has always been this meticulous person in cleaning our house. Oftentimes, she'd come home from a busy day at a wedding, and I would tidy up the house, and I'd get it all clean. I'm sitting there all proud, sitting in my chair, waiting for her to walk in the door and congratulate me and say, Wes, wow, you did a great job. She'd come in the house and start cleaning, and I'd say, hey, whoa there. Don't worry, just sit down. The house is clean. And she'd look at me in the eyes, and she'd say, your version of clean is not my version of clean. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I work so hard. This is clean. Anyways, I saw a shift a few years ago, and I started to notice things weren't clean. Now, I couldn't pinpoint it. I thought, it's not that my wife is lazy. My wife's not lazy. She's up before the crack of dawn. She's out walking before the sun comes up. She's studying her Bible from like 5-4 in the morning. She's not lazy. What had happened was she needed glasses. And this went on for about a year. And she went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor's, yeah, you need glasses. She got her prescription. She came home. She was horrified. I tell you, she went to town. The house was just perfect again. You see, what was different was she needed that different perspective. She needed that focus, that ability to see. And this is how, this is the problem. When we are told the word submit, we see through a particular lens. Oftentimes we're seeing through the lens of Rome, or we're seeing through the lens of some expectation of what the kingdom of God should be on this earth, when it's not necessarily what God has designed his kingdom to be. And so today I'm going to give you some perspective. Let's stand as we read God's word. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter and verse 13. Peter says to us, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You may be seated. Maybe your version's a little easier than my version, but I read that and I read it and then I memorized it and then I read it again and studied it and turned it around my head and oh man, I struggled with this passage, just the kind of the order and the wording. It's a lot of thoughts that are, you know, a parenthesis within a thought. And so I'm going to break this down for us this morning. And the therefore at the beginning is a really, it's carrying a lot of weight. Because when you see what the therefore is there for in this situation, it just keeps compounding. And what he's saying is, Peter's saying to them, based on your identity, well, what has he told us in this letter? He has told us that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. He has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are, at one time, we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. All of these things, he's saying, this is you. You are the elect of God. You are his people, and God has chosen you. And therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, whether to the king as supreme or and to governors. Submit yourselves to leaders, to officials, to police officers, to elected officials, to your parliamentarians, to people who have been put in position over you. You are to come under them in submission. And so we're breaking this in three parts, and one is submission, one is service, one is surrender. We are to submit, we are to serve, to do good, and we are to surrender. We are servants of the living God. And as we go through this, you'll be able to put on those glasses and you'll be able to tidy your house up a little bit. Some of you will straighten out your attitude in regard to your rebellious nature. And you'll see that, you know, it's okay to get worked up, but God calls us to be different. We are not called to be like the zealots, like the uprisers, the rebellious. We are not called to be like Rome and to crush and to defeat, but rather we are called to be like our King, King Jesus. And so submission. This is not, then, submission is not where we begin with government. It's where we begin with God. Where do we see that? Submit yourselves to every governing authority. Submit to every ordinance of man. And then he says, for the Lord's sake. It is for the Lord's sake. It is for Jesus' sake that we submit ourselves to our government, to the authorities that have been placed over us. We do this for the sake of Jesus. That means that submission is not first and foremost about the authority that's in front of you, because this is what our problem is. We look at it, we're like, well, I'm not submitting to him. How many of you have a hard time submitting to authorities who oftentimes, you're like, they do worse things than I do. Sometimes you feel that about your, you know, you're filing your taxes, and then you find out that the biggest cheats were actually a lot of times the people who are the ones who process your taxes, because they know all the loopholes, and they were the ones that took all the COVID money. And you're just like, what? You know, they're worse than me. Like, why would I not make sure I use this, you know, loophole, when it's not really a loophole, it's just a cheat. And you look at it and you're like, I can't submit to that. I mean, these people cheat the system. But the problem is you're looking at who? You're looking at the authority in front of you. Instead of looking higher, you see submission is first and foremost to God. You do it for the Lord's sake, not for their sake. It's not because they are perfect, because they have it all together, but rather because the Lord desires this of you. You see, Jesus did this with Pilate in John 19:10. Remember Pilate, he says to Jesus, because he has the ability to put Jesus on the cross in his mind. And so he says to Jesus, why aren't you saying anything? Jesus is just silent before him. He's like, do you not know that I have the authority to put you on the cross, to crucify you, and I have the authority to set you free? And Jesus responded by saying this, you could not have the power at all against me unless it's been given to you from above. All, this is how Paul puts it, Romans 13:1, let all, every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so as you look ahead and you hear the command, submit to the governing authority, look higher and say, I submit to my Lord and King, Jesus. And as you do that, you will recognize God has placed them there, not as perfect, but he has placed them there for his purpose. And what is his purpose? He says to punish the evildoers and to praise those who do good, to give order. Now, we all look around us and, you know, we oftentimes miss out on this. But there is a reason why things are a certain way in Canada. And then when you travel to maybe another destination and you don't see the same structure and you see things fall apart, and you're so frustrated with the way it is. And you're just looking at it and saying, you know, why is it that when we, you know, there's some, oftentimes there's no power in the place that we're staying in, or there's no, there's not proper traffic control, and there's not this and there's not that. And you look at it and you complain about that, and you realize that all the order and things that we appreciate here are because God has given government. And they reward those who do good and they punish evildoers. Do they do it perfectly? Absolutely not. Do they do it well? Sometimes and sometimes not. But we are to honor. We are to submit. This is what God calls us to do. Why? Because authority itself is not ultimate. Authority is delegated by God. It exists under God. Now, does that mean that we must always obey? This is where we go wrong. We oftentimes think that submission means constant obedience. And some of you would actually agree with that. There's some of you that are rule keepers through and through, and you think the government is the end all. I want to tell you that there is an authority above your government. And there are times, and we're coming into a time in which we need to submit to the authority of God, even when it defies the rules of man. You see, these are the rules of man. Peter makes it very clear when he says ordinances of man. He's talking about the creations, the laws of mankind. He uses the word anthropos, which is anthropology. It's human rules. These aren't God's rules, but they are God-appointed authorities. So we need to submit ourselves to our authorities. However, our authority is higher. Therefore, our obedience needs to first and foremost be to God, because he is the ultimate authority. And you say, well, why are you saying all that? We're in Canada. You're also in a country that just passed Bill C-9. And some of you maybe are a little bit more understanding of where this is going. And some of you maybe have a little bit more of a lean towards, it's hate speech. Just don't say anything hateful then. And I look at this and I think, I understand both of your perspectives on this. But here's where I come to it. On Friday, in Finland, a country that is a few years ahead of us on these types of laws, a member of parliament was charged $2,500 for the words that she wrote that weren't hateful or hate speech, but they were words which she believed came out of truth derived from the Word of God. She also was charged, but the charges didn't stick, on a post in which she posted from Romans chapter 1. And she talked about the church in her country, which was walking in pride parades and saying that the church has no right to do that, and quoted Romans chapter 1. And they tried to pin that one on her, and that didn't stick. But an article that she had written in 2003 is something that came against her. And she thought on Friday, she said, she was in an interview, and she said, I thought today we were going to be celebrating that we overcame this. She says, instead, I'm answering interviews, and they're saying to me, how do you feel now that you've been charged? She says, I haven't even had time to let this process. I really didn't think that this would happen. And so you look at that and you say, okay, they had hate speech laws, Bill C-9. Some of you may be oblivious. You're like, I don't even know what Bill C-9 is. So you need to, I tell you often, don't bother watching the news. It's just all, sometimes you gotta watch the news, okay? Bill C-9 is a bill about hate speech, that you should not say things to incite violence against particular groups. And I agree with that. You shouldn't say things to incite violence against particular groups. However, the definition of that is very difficult. And here's where we need to be careful. Bill C-9 had something in it that protected us and those who have a religious document to say that we are allowed to preach and teach from our document, that what we believe is the Word of God for us is the Bible. We can preach from this and teach from this, and it will not be construed as hate speech. Even if somebody considers it to sound hateful, it is God's Word. Quebec said, remove that, and then we're going to accept the bill. And so they removed that clause. And so now it's going to the Senate, and likely it passes Senate. And now, what does that mean for us? This means that I will still stand up in front of the church, and I'll still open up my Bible to passages like Romans chapter 1, and I'll say things such as Romans chapter 1 that they chose not to worship God. They chose to worship the creature rather than the creator. And the women gave up that which is natural, and women with women, men with men, doing that which is unnatural. And God, he turned them over to their desires. God's judgment was on them. And I will say those things, and I'll speak the truth of God's word. And that's what obedience looks like, because that is God's authority, and this is God's word. And this is what we submit to. We do not lower God's word in order to line up with what the government tells us to do. However, at the same time, we do it in a way that is respectful. We do it in a way that is loving. We speak truth in love. And yet the world will come at us and say, you are being hateful. And the things that you are saying are full of hate. And at that point, what can we do but continue to say, as Peter and as John did, we cannot but preach the word of God. We will keep talking about Jesus. We will keep speaking truth because this is God's word. But what does it look like? What does it look like when Peter tells us that we are to, he says, that we are to do good? That we are to, he says that this good ends up putting to silence, it puts to silence foolish men. It actually uses the word muzzle. You ever seen a dog with a muzzle on? You ever wish that there was a dog that you know that was wearing that muzzle? Some pet lovers are like, how dare you? You know, the constant like bark, bark, bark. And the idea here is the muzzle silences the bark. And this is what Peter is saying. He's saying that by your good works, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is what your good works will do. That when accusations come up at you, when people start to say things about Christians because we speak the truth from God's word, when these words are being heard and somebody says, those Christians, what a bunch of hateful people. But then at the same time, those same Christians are helping out at the food bank. Those same Christians are sponsoring and helping out right now in the Philippines. They've sent food to the Philippines and they're helping in a country that can't afford the food because their gas prices have doubled because of what's happening in Iran right now. You know, we think we got it bad. You know, you think about a country where they work and every day they need that money to pay for that day's food. They require a daily paycheck to go home and pay for that day's food. And now gas prices have doubled and the rice farmers can't get the food to market. And think about this. Sweet's Corners Church has been positioned in such a way, blessed us with gleaners and other organizations to send food to the Philippines. On this last load, we were sent this nutrition-rich barley, which is an amazing resource. And they're putting it into little bags and distributing that all over the place. Why? Because Sweet's Corners Church loves the people of the Philippines and we don't want to see them suffer. And God led us to do something preemptively that is now helping them in a time where many families are really struggling. And so by your good works, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By your good works. So what happens is that your good works, they outlast the accusations. All the bad things that they've said about Christians throughout the years, and a lot of it is false. Remember Nero, when the city of Rome burnt down, and it was likely his own doing, but who did he blame? Blamed the Christians. This is oftentimes what happens. It's the Christians' fault. And there's always a reason why they can blame the Christians. And what are they going to do? They're going to blame the Christians for hate. Something happens against a particular group and they're saying, because those Christians are so hateful. It's because of them. And our challenge is that by our service and by our good works, that we would put to silence the ignorance of those foolish men. It is a defense of the gospel. It is a living apologetic. It is every day defending the gospel by your good works. But even when you do the good works, even when you do good things, sometimes it'll get even more intense against you. There'll be more persecution. You're just like, man, what do we do? And Peter, his encouragement is just don't adjust. Just continue to do the things that God has called you to do. You see, this is the pattern of Jesus Christ. Jesus went about doing good, blessing people, teaching them, setting them free, healing them, feeding them, encouraging them, loving them. Follow this way of life. And this brings us to our final, and that is, how is this even possible? How do we do these good works? How do we have this heart of submission, especially when governments seem to be specifically targeting believers? How do we have that heart of submission? How do we continue to serve a society that sometimes is hostile against the very things that we're doing? How does this happen? It happens through surrender. Notice he says this. He says, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for evil or for vice. You see, some Christians, some people, what they do is they say, well, I'm free. I am free. I've been born again. I am of the kingdom of God. I live, you know, they kind of put themselves above the rest of people of society, and therefore, I'll just do whatever I please, whatever I want to do. Peter says, no, no, no. He says, as free, you submit. Here's the paradox. Doesn't it seem funny to go together? I want you to submit as free. If we were free, we wouldn't have to submit to this oppressive government or to this, you know, people who are lording it over us or trying to push things on us. We wouldn't have to submit to an evil government if we were truly free. But he says, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak to do what is wrong. But here's the key, but as bond servants of God. Surrender. Here's the key. You're a slave. You were a slave of sin, and you've been set free. You were set for death, but now you've been given life. You were in darkness, now you are in light. Now you're a slave of God. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a slave of God, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, to know that he's your master, the one who created you, knows you and loves you and has all good planned for you, to say, I serve you, my King Jesus. And so this is how it becomes possible. Look what he says here at the end. He pulls it all together. Peter says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Look at the order there. All people deserve honor. You're like, no, not all people. You don't know my neighbor. No, all people. Why? Because they've been designed in the image of God. Yes, fallen, but they are designed in the image of God. Life is precious. The unborn baby deserves honor. Amen? All people deserve honor. The person who considers themselves your enemy, your neighbor who wants to make your life miserable sometimes, somebody who is always just, you know, they're set out to get you, honor them. Honor all people. But then he gives another category, and he says, love the brotherhood. I love this. This is a unique thing to Peter. He calls it the brotherhood. He means brothers and sisters in Christ. You are the brotherhood, and you deserve something extra special. He says, love them. Love your brothers and sisters. And I've met people in the church over the years. I've met some people who are really good at loving outsiders, but for some reason have a hard time loving the people in the church. And I get it. Here's the thing. It's easy to love the people you don't know yet. You ever find this? But then once you get to know somebody, some people are just a little tricky to figure out how to love them. I don't really like them. You know, this type of personality, we just don't seem to see eye to eye, and I try to avoid them. But here's what Peter says. Love the brotherhood. In fact, Jesus says, by this they will know you are my disciples. Why? Because you have such love for one another. Why is Jesus saying that? Not just because he just pours out all this love and we just can't help love each other. You know, I'm not talking, you know, the hippie days where everybody was so high they didn't know better than to just show love to each other. You know, we're not all just intoxicated with love, but rather people who choose, because of what Jesus did for them, to show an exceptional, sacrificial love that is impossible apart from the Spirit of God and the Word of God working inside of their hearts. That type of love. That's why the world says, I don't know how those two people outside of church, I could never see them showing that kind of love and service to each other, but God must be in their midst. And so honor all people, love the brethren, and listen to this. The only one who gets this one, fear God. Fear God. And then we come back down to the king again, okay? Because we started with honor the king. Now we come back down to the king. Honor the king. Fear God, honor the king. Why? Because God is ultimate authority. God has delegated authority here. So we honor the king, but we fear God. And what makes us different is that when people like Peter and John were told, listen, if you preach Jesus again, we're going to imprison you and we might kill you. Peter and John said, listen, we get it. You tell us not to do this, but we cannot help but to say and to do the things that Jesus told us to say and to do. And when the world tells us to stop speaking truth, stop telling the world that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. I mean, these are simple truths. Even Mr. Rogers knew it. It's in the Word of God, but even, you know, even that television personality, Mr. Rogers, said it so clearly, told those lovely little children, you are a boy, you were born a boy, you will always be a boy. He was ahead of his time. Why? Because there was at his time already people starting a movement that would rob children and take away that incredible truth that God created you and loves you and created you the way you are. So we won't stop speaking those truths. Stop telling people that apart from God, we're dead. We're lost. And we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We gotta preach it. It's the word of God. It's truth. And so that's the order. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Father, we thank you for your spirit, for your life. Lord, I thank you for this church that they are established on your word, that your word dwells within them richly. I thank you that as each day they spend time in your presence, that you would transform them, that you would allow them to see the areas in their lives that need to come under that lordship of Jesus Christ, the areas where they have not surrendered. Father, I pray for boldness for this church, that as we come into this springtime and people start getting outside and enjoying time outside with neighbors and friends, that we would have the boldness to speak up and to show love and compassion to neighbors and friends and build relationships. And when those opportunities come, that there will be an opportunity for you, Lord Jesus, to enter those conversations. That we would speak about someone who has come and brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, a wonderful Savior, an amazing friend, that we would speak your living words. And I thank you, Lord, that you are growing this church. But I ask, Lord God, that this church would be growing in a way that is drawing people to you, Jesus. This is so much more than just a community. This is the brotherhood. These are brothers and sisters in you, Lord God. And so, Father, work in our hearts, work in our minds today. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church to all generations forever and ever. Amen.